This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The Justice Department has launched an investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department a day after the conviction of one of its former police officers, Derek Chauvin, in the death of George Floyd.
The Justice Department can outline and force changes on local municipalities. It can force reforms and mandate any sort of, you know, changes in policy, changes in use of force, changes in tactics that it sees fit.
And the Biden administration is setting the stage for stricter regulations on auto emissions. Plus, home ownership is on the rise among Hispanic Americans. We'll explain why. It's Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal with a PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced today that the Justice Department has begun a probe into the policing practices of the Minneapolis Police Department.
The investigation I am announcing today will assess whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of using excessive force, including during protests. The investigation will also assess whether the MPD engages in discriminatory conduct and whether its treatment of those with behavioral health disabilities is unlawful.
We'll have more details on the investigation later in the show. We report exclusively that the Biden administration is expected to end a legal battle over auto emissions in California. The state has long set standards that exceed federal requirements. That became a source of friction after the Trump administration moved to relax standards set by the Obama administration and adopted a new policy that California didn't have the legal authority to set its own fuel economy standards. Stronger regulations on car makers has been central to President Biden's agenda for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The White House is hosting 40 world leaders for a virtual summit on climate change starting tomorrow. We'll have more on what they'll be discussing and the Biden administration's targets in the AM edition of What's News. The Biden administration has signaled it could be open to easing sanctions against critical elements of Iran's economy, including oil, finance, and other sectors. It's part of the effort to return to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. The U.S. decision to quit the deal and impose sweeping sanctions on Iran prompted Tehran to breach many of the key restrictions in the accord, making it difficult for both sides to return to the original agreement. Iran has previously demanded all sanctions be lifted. Today, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani called on Washington to provide more specifics of the sanctions relief. Drug maker Pfizer says it's identified the first counterfeit versions of its COVID-19 vaccine. At a clinic in Mexico, about 80 people received fraudulent doses for about $1,000 a shot. No one appears to have been physically harmed. In Poland, authorities seized vials of what was likely an anti-wrinkle treatment in a man's apartment. The U.S., Mexico, and other countries have seized or taken down dozens of websites fraudulently claiming to sell shots or have an affiliation with vaccine makers such as Moderna and Pfizer, according to government officials and records. So far, the Department of Homeland Security says no counterfeit vaccines have been discovered in the U.S. And the European Union wants to limit police use of artificial intelligence and propose curbs on AI in so-called high-risk uses, like college admissions and loan applications. The effort is one of the broadest of its kind by a Western government. Our Parmi Olsen has more.
AI is already such an important part of the technology we use every day, and it's only going to increase. And I think the fact that the EU took what they call a risk-based approach, where they're really only targeting the AI systems that could hurt people, I think that's been welcomed by the industry so far.
Coming up after the break, a day after Derek Chauvin's conviction, what a Justice Department probe into the Minneapolis Police Department could mean for the city's police reform.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Attorney General Merrick Garland took a forceful step today, signaling that he intended to re-emphasize the enforcement of civil rights law amid public outcry over police conduct. He announced today that the DOJ has launched an investigation into whether the Minneapolis Police Department has engaged in a pattern of unconstitutional policing.
I strongly believe that good officers do not want to work in systems that allow bad practices. Good officers welcome accountability because accountability is an essential part of building trust with the community, and public safety requires public trust.
This comes just a day after the murder conviction of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Three other former officers charged in the death of George Floyd will face trial this summer. So what could this action mean for the city's police department and those proceedings? Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman. Hi, Sadie. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sadie, the DOJ is launching what's known as a pattern or practice probe. Can you explain exactly what that is?
In a pattern or practice investigation, it's a civil inquiry that goes far beyond any sort of criminal inquiry into, you know, just the conduct of one individual officer, in this case, Derek Chauvin. But this examination will actually look more broadly at the conduct of officers within the Minneapolis Police Department. It will be specifically looking for patterns of unconstitutional conduct, things like discrimination in traffic stops, excessive force, and this investigation will also look at how the Minneapolis Police Department treats people with behavioral health problems.
What can you tell us about how investigations like this typically unfold? What's the timeline, and what have you learned about next steps investigators will be taking here?
So these investigations can take months or even years, you know, depending on how deep the Justice Department wants to go into the police department's conduct and behavior. But basically, you know, the Justice Department has already started reaching out to community groups, interviewing residents, interviewing police officers and union officials and supervisors within the department. They will go on ride-alongs with police officers. They will study training manuals, and they will look at databases and sort of reports, any sort of use of force reports, just basically taking a top-to-bottom look at all of the department's functions and all of its record-keeping, and trying to get a better sense of how the department implements policy, how it trains its officers, and how it holds those officers accountable.
Sadie, I'd like to talk a little bit about the precedent for opening cases like this. Under the Obama administration, several pattern or practice probes were launched, including before and after the 2014 police killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. There were also efforts to open an investigation into the death of George Floyd under the Trump administration, but that didn't happen. Why not? And can you explain to us what the sort of bar or standard is here for officials that they use to determine whether to open these types of investigations?
Yes. So this action today by Attorney General Merrick Garland is a significant departure from the philosophy and the practice of the Trump administration. Like you mentioned, former Attorney General Bill Barr had opposed the opening of such an investigation after George Floyd's death last year, even after Civil Rights Division officials had found in a preliminary examination that Minneapolis police officers had used force 240 times, used the chokehold maneuver specifically, and many of which rendered suspects unconscious. So that was something that Civil Rights Division officials at the time believed warranted, you know, a further look, an actual investigation into the police department. Barr opposed that. He was worried about morale. He was worried that another federal investigation would just, you know, hurt officer morale and cause spikes in crime as the department was, under such duress following Floyd's killing. But generally speaking, the bar to open civil investigation like this is fairly subjective. And, you know, Civil Rights Division officials have to basically look to see if there is unconstitutional conduct, if there's a pattern of that behavior, and if they feel that that exists, that gives them the authority to take a closer look.
And Sadie, what are some of the possible outcomes that could result from this investigation?
So many of these investigations end in court enforceable agreement, a legal settlement known as a consent decree. And in that consent decree, the Justice Department can outline and force changes on local municipalities. It can force reforms. and mandate any sort of, you know, changes in policy, changes in use of force, changes in tactics that it sees fit. And then that agreement is frequently overseen by a monitor who will make sure that the police department is actually implementing the changes. And conservatives in particular have criticized this approach because they feel it is unfair to force these sometimes costly changes on cities. But this administration certainly believes that it is one of the best ways to actually create longstanding change.
Have you gotten a response from the Minneapolis Police Department or local officials in Minneapolis about the opening of this investigation at the federal level?
The police department has said it welcomes the investigation and it is ready to fully cooperate. The chief said that he is eager to share the work of his department with federal investigators to uncover any sort of deficiencies or unwanted conduct and make changes. He said he has been pushing to get federal support for years, and this will help him to make some of the reforms that he's long advocated for. The mayor and the city council have also said they welcomed this Justice Department investigation as a way to hold the police accountable with an authority that the state and local officials don't have.
Finally, Sadie, there's been a lot of discussion about how the verdict in the Chauvin case could impact the trials of three other police officers charged in George Floyd's death. Is there a potential impact on those cases now that the DOJ has opened this investigation?
Well, Justice Department officials told us today that they were sensitive to the fact that the Chauvin trial was ongoing in deciding not to announce this investigation until the verdict had been delivered yesterday. And so, you know, but there are still three other trials slated to happen. And I think there is some concern that this move will have some impact on that trial. It's something the judge will likely ask about, you know, whether jurors in that case have heard about this and whether that will impact their view of the specific cases.
Wall Street Journal Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman. Sadie, thank you so much for your time today.
Yep, thank you.
And finally, Hispanic homeownership grew at a record pace last year, rising by more than 700,000 to nearly 9 million, according to Census Bureau data. Our housing reporter Nicole Friedman says millennials are driving those gains.
A lot of people in the Hispanic community are in their early 30s, late 20s, in those kind of prime home buying years. And really, analysts say that the Hispanic home buyers who were ready to buy homes in 2020, had the means to do so, just weren't the same people largely as the ones who were affected by the job losses.
And that growth is expected to continue. The Urban Institute projects that over the next 20 years, Hispanic Americans will make up 70% of the net new homeowner households. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.